Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Enyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church.
I'm Doug McBurney. Just glad to be here, Bob. Thank you for allowing me to come into the studio.
Well, now that the debate analysis is over.
Yeah,
with James White on Open Theism. That was such an important event.
Phenomenal.
And Doug, the book should be coming out soon. Available at Amazon.com, on Kindle, ebook, everything.
Awesome.
The transcript is 100% complete.
Wow.
So
that's fast work.
Yeah.
Well, and I know that you are about to engage in probably the most important author interview that you've ever done with Richard Holland on his book,
yes,
God, Time, and the Incarnation.
Yes, this is a stunning book. I highly recommend it.
Just the title alone, I cannot imagine you walking through a bookstore, seeing that title, and not grabbing that
book
off the shelf.
Doug, it is just the greatest book. And Richard and I have agreed that this is not going to be a normal author interview. We're going to picture ourselves, let's say you're sitting in a coffee shop up in Breckenridge.
Nice.
There's a fireplace, yeah. And it's snowing outside, and you're with a favorite author.
Yeah.
And he's got half a day available, and he broke his ankle
okay.
on the slopes, and he just wants to talk.
That would be awesome.
The pain.
Yeah.
So Richard and I are just going to talk through all the issues involved, including historical issues of what the church has taught regarding the incarnation and divine timelessness and utter immutability.
Utter immutability.
Yes.
That sounds fascinating.
Oh, wow. This is an important broadcast event for Bob Enyart Live beginning on Thursday.
Thursday this week.
Yes, and Dr. Holland is a professor of theology at Liberty University. He's an associate professor of theology.
Wow.
And the book will be available at kgov.com at our store.
Oh, right.
And if you get the book from us, you'll get a CD with all of the interview.
So $100? $150?
I don't know.
It'd be worth about $150.
I don't know the price. I got to find out. $25? I don't know.
So maybe $25?
Maybe.
A bargain. So the book is called
the
book is God, Time, and the Incarnation, Richard Holland, starting Thursday, tomorrow.
Yes.
Hey, that'd be awesome.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Now, speaking of schools of theology, I met a priestess yesterday.
Okay.
At the rally, the No on 67 rally that was held up at the Capitol.
Oh, because they advocate killing unborn children.
They do. In public, on stage, with a microphone to amplify their voices.
And in Colorado, Amendment 67, in November, the whole state will vote. And this is the Brady Amendment, which says that the word person in our criminal code must include the unborn human being, the unborn child.
That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Well, they had their rally, and the police made us, we were there as a counter-protest, as you can well imagine. And the police made us go down the hill, if you're familiar, towards City Park, down on the sidewalk, next to Broadway.
Yeah.
We weren't allowed to be up there and mingle with the No on 67 forces.
Yes.
Well, anyway, the pro-aborts have learned not to let us mingle because we had the one year where they took the pictures, and there were more pro-life signs than there were pro-abortion signs.
Right, at their rally.
So this year they told the police, tell those pro-lifers to go all the way down the hill and stay. We were a couple hundred yards away. Now, at the end, a few of the pro-aborts had the nerve to walk right toward us and walk right through us as their path
and
of egress.
Normally, we would love that.
Absolutely.
Right? We want to talk. We want to engage.
Yes.
We want to witness.
Right.
All that.
So,
Like
Elijah. Very similar. Woman comes toward me. She's in a flowing gown. She has her No on 67 sign and a roll of No on 67 stickers. And she's covered with tattoos.
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, Jesus Christ was watching you today. He heard you as you support the killing of his children.
Wow.
And he can be your savior or he can be your judge, but you are going to meet him. That was the message I gave to the pro-aborts.
Thank you, Doug.
Coming through.
Thank you.
She took her No on 67 sticker and
stuck it on
my shirt.
I have no doubt.
She physically touched me. Now, I did not charge her with assault, nor did I ask that she be arrested. But she did physically touch me and put this sticker on me.
Yeah.
And when she put the sticker on me, she said, I'll have you know I am a priest, and I have been to seminary. So anyway, she said she was a priest. And I engaged her in a very brief theological discussion, which she did not respond to. Mm. So I asked her if she got her tattoos at seminary. And then she said, stop following her. I'm going to call the police. So I stopped. I turned around and walked in the other direction.
Yeah, yeah.
I didn't want to be – I didn't mean to stalk
her. A lot of Christians have been convinced that when it comes to their neighbor killing children, such things.
Yes.
That as Christians, the best thing to do is to be apathetic about that and just turn away, just ignore it. And I guess their thought is you don't need to love your neighbor if your neighbor is killing their children. And they especially say that you don't need to love the governors, the presidents, the senators, the representatives, the judges. When these people say, like, let's say you have a neighbor who's a plumber, and he's stealing money from his boss.
Okay.
And you're a Christian and you care about him. And you say, you know, God said, do not steal. And God said that we will be held accountable. All the world is under the law and guilty. You need to turn toward Jesus Christ. You need to tell God you're sorry and repent. But if he is a governing official, apparently the teaching in the church at large is you should rather that they just go to hell. Because you don't want to warn a governing official.
Yeah.
Politicians, I think many pastors hate politicians so much that they teach their congregation, mum's the word, don't say anything.
Wow.
Let them go to hell with jet rockets on. Yeah. Because as Christians, we could warn our neighbor, but not if our neighbor is a governing official.
Mm. Yeah, yeah. And I was confronted by people who said, you know, you're being mean and you're what you're doing never works. Now, I want to make it clear. I had another witnessing opportunity with a young man, obviously a homeless man, probably in his 20s, came up, wanted to know what was going on. We started talking to me. His breath smelled like liquor. Mm. Now, I did not condemn him and attack him. I asked him if he knew who Jesus Christ was, and he seems to at least understand the gospel. I said, well, you need to take care of yourself. You need to start thinking about Jesus Christ. You can't be drinking before noon. Mm. I said, you need to be your brother's keeper. You need to love your neighbor, and you can't help your neighbor and love your neighbor if you're destroying yourself.
Right.
So I was gentle and very nice with this young fellow because that's where he
was. It depends on the demeanor of the person you're talking to. When Jesus was talking to someone who was broken and humble, he was gentle.
Right.
When he was talking with someone like a businessman on the Temple Mount, he was as harsh as could be.
Right, right. And so the No on 67 forces were up on the state capitol calling for the murder of innocent children. So the guy I talked to whose breath smelled like Jack Daniels, he's just your run-of-the-mill sinner.
Right.
He needs some love and he needs some help. He needs to be pointed in the right direction. Now, the people up on that stage are full-throated supporters of the murder of God's children, and they need to be warned. At least that's the way I felt.
Well, of course.
I needed to warn them.
There's different tactics, different techniques that God in the Bible interacts with people differently depending on where those people are at.
Right.
Are all sins equal?
Well, let's say you get drunk at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Right.
Is that the same as murdering your own child?
No. It's not.
It's not. Not even.
Now, I heard on Christian radio once, I don't want to say what station, that all sins are equal.
Yeah.
And that murder is like stealing a Tic Tac.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And I thought, wow, murder is like stealing a Tic Tac. Where does it say that in the Bible, that all sins are equal?
Yeah.
And that murder is like stealing something minor, like a mite.
Yeah.
Doug, it turns out that Jesus talked about the one who has the greater sin.
Mm.
And the Bible frequently compares people with different sins and shows us which ones are more severe, more egregious to God, and which ones will be punished more severely on Judgment Day and even in hell.
Yeah. Yeah.
So not that Dante was right in his Inferno. That seems to be I mean, that was a bit colorful.
A bit fictionalized, but.
Yeah. But the concept is biblical. And so we have an article, Are All Sins Equal in God's Eyes? All sins are not equal.
All sins are not equal.
Right. At kgov.com. You could Google that.
Yeah.
Are all sins equal? So anyway.
I'll Google that and
so
find out.
So thank you for confronting.
But I also want to thank several of the ladies and some of the young men who were there, because I was confrontational with these people as they chose to walk through our ranks. And so I was confrontational, and there were others there who were much more gentle with them and said, it doesn't have to be this way. You don't have to suffer the eternal condemnation that you just heard about if you'll repent and humble yourself before Jesus Christ. So there were all manner of witness down there yesterday at the No on 67 rally. And
well, how about the guy who said to you, you don't need to confront these people. You only need to share love, because that's how he was saved, by sharing love.
Right. That was a photographer who took a lot of pictures of me as I was talking to people. And I told him, I said, you were probably just your average run-of-the-mill sinner. I said, did you ever stand up on a stage and call for legalized child killing? He said, well, no, I never did that.
Right.
And he said, he's a Christian. I said, well, then it might have been appropriate to tell you that Jesus loves you and there's room for you to repent.
Because your heart was soft. But when your heart is hard.
I said, these people are charging toward a cliff that leads straight to hell. And I'm at the edge of the cliff shouting, saying, stop.
Right.
Warning them.
Amen.
And anyway, he took my picture and he went along his way. But we put it in the hands of God, because we know that we do what we can do as far as telling people the truth in whatever manner we do it. And we know that God provides the opportunity for salvation to everyone. And none of those people who were confronted at the rally yesterday will have the excuse that I never heard or I never knew. And there were a lot of parents there with their little kids. It was kind of creepy. That was really distasteful.
Yeah.
All right, but let's.
Well, thank you for being there, Doug.
It was inspirational to see a lot of new faces. By the way, a lot of people I did not recognize holding signs
at the Yes on 67.
At the Yes on 67 counter rally. Yeah.
Doug, really fast. The last Amendment 62 we had, Personhood Amendment. Planned Parenthood had a No on 62 event.
Yeah, I remember.
And so up on, Doug has a Yes on 67 and a Yes on 62
shirt. I wore my
shirt.
Yes on 62 shirt, and then I was clothed in a
Yes on 67 on top of it.
Yesterday was not the best day for layers out at the Capitol, by the way. Yeah, it was nice of
you. So, Doug, the No on 62 by Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
They had a poster board up. They just got started in their, you know, half-hour event. And they said, we want people to sign this poster board sometime during today's event. Come up. We have magic markers. Come up and sign it. If you're willing to sign this, you know, for No on 67. So I thought, hey, I'll sign anything. So I went right up and I picked up the marker to sign. And I was going to write something about baby killers.
Yeah.
And the speaker came over to take the marker out of my hand. So I gave it to him and I went and took the microphone. And I just started preaching.
Amen.
And they never recovered.
Yeah.
The event completely dissolved into a catastrophe for them. It became a Yes on, you know, Personhood 62 event.
Uh-huh.
It was fun. And that was the end of their event. And they all just melted away. And it was fun.
I was regaled with that story today.
Oh, you were?
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah, that's achieved mythic proportions, as a matter of fact.
That was a classic.
In the movement. Yeah, it was awesome.
And Amanda, young gal, young mom, came up with their baby.
Yeah.
And stood next to me. We stood at the lectern and just took over the event.
Yeah. Well, today... Heather Surovic was there, and all the media Brady's mom was there, and all the media who came to get the No on 67 perspective also had the opportunity, thanks to Keith Mason and a few other leaders. Heather had the opportunity to take advantage of that media and tell her story and the story of Brady.
Oh, yeah.
So a lot of good fruit today out there, and just thankful to everyone for being there. So a lot of good fruit out there yesterday. And just want to thank everybody for being there. It was awesome.
And, Doug, I haven't mentioned this, but a few days ago the BBC called, and I was interviewed down at the Brown Palace on Colorado giving IUDs to women, to girls, 13, 14, 15, for free. And they thought it was just the most wonderful story. And the reporter was shocked to hear the horror, the other side of the story, the horror. And it's not the good news story that the media spins.
Yeah.
But anyway, just to let people know that happened.
By the way.
And it should air on NPR and the BBC.
Yeah. So, I'm glad you told me. I typically don't tune in.
No.
But I don't know if you've addressed this yet, because this is from earlier in the month. But did you know that the Aurora branch of the Planned Parenthood, they were given an award for exceeding their abortion visits?
What?
Well, exceeding. Now, they've always said there's no quotas.
They've said that their goal is to reduce the number of abortions.
Safe, legal, and rare.
But they take in hundreds of millions of dollars, yeah. Planned Parenthood does,
yeah.
from killing babies, and they want to maximize the number of babies killed.
Right.
So what? An Aurora? This is an Aurora feeder clinic.
Yeah.
They feed referrals into the central killing house.
Right, because the Aurora clinic doesn't actually perform abortions,
no.
but they refer to the abortion clinic.
Yeah, Planned Parenthood does this everywhere.
Planned Parenthood gave them awards saying that they had exceeded expectations.
So they sent more women. And what they do is they put their feeder clinics usually next to high schools and colleges.
Right. And typically in the center, poor neighborhoods.
Right. And in the center, usually in a minority neighborhood, they put an abortion clinic where they kill the babies.
Right.
And then they have a ring of these feeder clinics, which are typically in minority neighborhoods.
Yeah. And so Aurora, just despicable. Despicable.
Yeah. Yep.
Now we have to do reason number 779 to keep or get your children out of the government schools.
Oh.
Because I
779.
Reason number 779, if you're keeping track. These are in no particular order. But reason number 779 is Oviedo, Florida. Christian Newsnet reports that the parents of a kindergartner in Florida have pulled their child from the public schools after they say their daughter was told she was not allowed to pray over her lunch. She was caught in the act of praying by a government school teacher.
What grade?
Kindergarten.
Kindergarten.
So this is a 5-year-old.
So a 5-year-old bows her head to pray over her meal.
Yeah.
And is it surprising? Of course, it's not surprising. You know, so this is a good news story because the parents.
They pulled the kid.
Yanked her out of the public schools.
Yeah.
Which is always that's a positive.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
The angels sing every time a child is pulled out of the government schools in America.
Is that that's a Bible verse. I think.
It will be someday.
So, Doug, the president of the Southern Baptist Association opposed the effort to warn their members about how anti-Christian the public schools are in America.
Really?
I mean, that's naive. I love the Southern Baptists.
They're the most conservative of the conservatives.
That is so naive, right?
Yeah, that's
so you know what? His argument was, you guys are exaggerating. They're not against Christians.
Oh, really?
So as though even if that were true, it's still a godless education system.
Well, yeah.
You don't want to have your kids have a Christian education. So anyway, the school closest to his home, where he lives, they sent a message home with the kids, a written notice before their holiday party.
Yeah.
This is elementary school. That the kids were not allowed to bring in napkins that were green and red.
Green and red.
They were encouraged to bring in paper supplies and all whatever, but not green and red napkins because it reminds people of Christmas.
Oh, Christmas.
That's the school closest to the president of the Southern Baptist Association. Who said that the schools are not against Christianity.
All right, and he's been made aware of this situation, I would assume?
Well, we tried to make him aware of it.
Hopefully he'll become.
And others have.
It's going to become more and more undeniable as we go forward.
Well, it's been undeniable.
It's been undeniable. I'm surprised to hear that the Baptists haven't begun an effort. But, I guess I'm not
surprised. It is a minority effort, but some have.
Okay, well,
but
that's
encouraging. But naivete is big, right? Gullible, spiritual gullibility.
Yeah, well, that's true.
When Satan tells you when the wolf is dressed up in sheep's clothing and says, pay no attention to the wolf behind the wool.
Yeah.
So.
All right. Now, there's a couple of issues. By the way, reason number 780 to keep or get your children out of the government schools.
Yeah.
But we reviewed it and we had to self-censor it. We can't even tell the story.
We can't report it.
No.
It's out just a news story this past week.
Yeah. We can't say you can't say what's involved. We can say that it involves an adult male homosexual teacher. As far as we can go.
And a number of students from ages 12 to 16.
A number of students.
And so unbelievable. And, you know, Fox that reported it, their headline and all, they misreported it because they toned down. They didn't have to say what happened. But the way they did report it, they suggested that that the only thing that was done was the words that were said. Suggested it was just a verbal thing.
So anyway, for our research staff who are keeping the spreadsheet on the reasons, we apologize that we're not able to elaborate, but just note that reason number 780 has been posited.
And doesn't the Bible say that things they do, it's shameful even to speak of the things that they do?
Yeah, it is. I had this conversation yesterday at the protest. I said when society decides that certain topics are up for debate, the conservatives have already lost.
Right, of course.
To even suggest that we should debate whether or not it should be legal to kill babies,
right.
Well, we've already lost.
Well, and when the Southern Baptists say we're going to vote on adultery or we're going to vote on homosexuality, they lost at that point.
At that moment.
When did God say, hey, you know what? I'm going to give you the Ten Commandments, and why don't you vote on them every 4 years? Mm. I mean, even though the vote is going okay so far.
Yeah.
The moment they decided to vote on fundamental morality is the moment they lost that battle.
Amen. And I would, you know, the string of victories for homosexual marriage really prove that point. Because up until just a couple years ago, the conservatives said, hey, we're 47-0. We've gone to the electorate 47 times, and 47 times they've rejected. And now it's 27 times in a row we've lost, and there's no going back.
And the father is Mitt Romney, the father of homosexual marriage.
That's true.
The first official to decriminalize, to introduce homosexual marriage, Mitt Romney, father of homo marriage.
Yes. Okay, now. We're almost out of time. There's a couple of stories I have not heard you talk about that I want to get your opinion on. First of all, the Gaza situation, the war in Gaza, the war that was initiated by Hamas and is now a counteroffensive has been initiated by Israel into. Yeah. And it's obvious that the Palestinians, the Hamas, are desperately trying to kidnap a civilian, a soldier, anyone. They've been caught now several times trying to... Coming in with anesthetic and handcuffs. They're obviously trying to kidnap someone.
Because last time, what was the trade? It was one Israeli soldier for 1,000.
Over 1,000.
Palestinians, including your run-of-the-mill terrorists and criminals who had committed brutal murders up close and personal. 1,000. And the Palestinians think that somehow... They win that trade, right?
Yeah.
They turn over one Jewish soldier, and they get 1,000 terrorists and criminals, and they call them freedom fighters.
Sure.
Jihadists.
In their calculations, that's a win.
That's a win. But in reality, it so undermines their identity themselves as a people group. Imagine what everyone realizes after something like that is that the Jews value their people far more than the Palestinians value their people.
Wow. That 1,000 to 1.
1,000 to 1. That one Jew is worth 1,000 Palestinians. Hmm. They think that they're coming out on the good end of that deal. Wow. To God, every human being is eternally valuable.
Amen.
Sufficient that God the Son gave his life so that we could be saved if we trust in him. But the idea, first of all, of negotiating with terrorists is a tragedy. And so it's just all around horrific.
And so the other topic that I haven't heard you discuss is the crisis at the border. It's a crisis.
It's
been going on for 30 years. I grew up in Texas.
Yeah.
They've been flooding over the border ever since I can remember. But anyway, there has been a spike recently. In fact, can I quote this story real quick? The governor of Texas sent in the National Guard, And one of the reasons, he says, there's now 8,000 or 9,000 a week coming across the border. There's more people coming across the border in Texas than are being born each week in Texas.
Right.
And I don't doubt that that is true. And so the governor has now.
And it's George Bush's fault. And it's the Republican Party's
fault. Wait a minute. This is obviously an Obama operation.
It's their fault. And here's why, Doug. Because if George Bush gives Planned Parenthood hundreds of millions of dollars more than the Democrats before him, of course Obama's going to do more. If George Bush and the Republicans allow our border to be a sieve.
Yes, which they did.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Just a farce. Then what? The Democrats are going to be more restrained? So every time the Republicans bring us to the edge of the cliff, then the Democrats just jump off. Every time.
This is true.
And so all the nightmare reporting about the border, if you just go back before Obama was president.
Yes.
The Republicans, the conservatives were saying the exact same thing about George Bush.
Yeah. Well, I grew up in Texas and people were screaming at Ronald Reagan.
Right.
When he signed amnesty
so
in Texas.
As long as the alleged good guys do evil. Why should anyone be surprised when the openly wicked guys do worse?
Yes, absolutely.
So, of course. And every time you vote for a Republican who's a child killer, pro-sodomite, promotes the godless public schools, every time you do that, you are destroying the nation. You're the problem, not Obama, you.
Yes, every time you allow yourself to be manipulated and lied to because you want to be a winner. You want to be on a winning
team.
You
want to win this next pathetic little race.
Yeah, yeah.
This little race.
Yes. Oh, by the way, my suggestion to Texas is increase your birth rate. There's about 1,500 abortions per week in Texas.
Yeah.
Texas citizens, innocent children being murdered. Yeah. And I think if you're worried about the border invasion in Texas, you might want to do something to increase your birth rate.
Well, the nation that kills its children by a million or more, count chemical abortions.
Yeah.
RU 46 and the morning after pill.
Right.
Count all that. When you kill your children by the millions, you shouldn't be surprised if you gradually lose your culture. I mean, what right do you have to keep your culture when you're slaughtering your children? What right do you have to good health care when you're slaughtering your children? What if Germans were up in arms because their health care wasn't that great under Hitler? Wouldn't we have really admired those Germans?
Well,
boy, what pride, what depth of morality.
Sad, pretty sad.
And that's what goes today for what, a conservative Christian pro-lifer like Sean Hannity?
Yeah, well,
he supports Mitt Romney, father of gay marriage, child killer, socialist.
Yeah. And then rants and raves about the fact that
Obama's bad.
That Obama's bad and the border is porous and he's all upset about the border.
So iRoll Radio. Yeah. iRoll Radio is Obama's bad. Come on. That's like Jesus taking 3 years to say, you know, Caesar's evil.
All right. Tune in starting Thursday with Bob and Richard Holland, God, Time, and the Incarnation. Starts this Thursday.
Thank you, Doug. It's going to be so exciting. A broadcast event.
Amen.
At kgov.com.